Hallelujah. Are you glad you're here tonight? Amen. Amen. Where the Lord is, where His anointing is, that's the best place to be. God can give you the greatest thrill. He'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Ladies, don't forget that tickets for the tea are on sale in our bookstore. The tea will be April 27th, or 27th, Saturday, the last Saturday in April. Seventh annual tea, it's going to be great. Hallelujah. And men, if you want to do something for missions, we have a Men for Missions program. I need you to sign up if you want to be part of that. And there's a sign-up sheet at the information table. We want to have three breakfasts, raise money for missions. You know, God's interested in missions. Yes. Amen? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. We have been talking about redemptive realities. Aren't you glad that what Jesus did can be a reality in your life? Amen. He didn't just do it for no reason, but there is a reason and a purpose behind what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. And in Galatians 3:13, notice what it says. Christ has redeemed us. What tense is that? Past tense. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And the curse of the law affects three areas. Number one, you're redeemed from poverty. I don't know, does that make you happy? Yeah. Say, I'm redeemed from poverty. Well, if I'm redeemed from poverty, how come I'm poor? It's a good question. Did Jesus come to save the world? Is the world saved? Those who believe in Jesus and accept Him as their Lord and Savior, they're saved, right? But there's a lot of people in the world that haven't believed. Maybe they haven't heard. Maybe they haven't understood. Doesn't matter. They are not saved, but they can believe, can't they? God gave Christ to the world. He gave the world an open invitation. And anybody that RSVPs, amen? You know, then he'll reserve your name in the book. But you got to RSVP, you got to respond. So you've been redeemed from poverty. Then another part, which we're going to talk about tonight, is sickness. You've been redeemed from sickness. I don't know, does that make you excited? That's a good place to get excited, to know that you've been redeemed from sickness. And then the last Wednesday, we're going to talk about being redeemed from death. Now, next Wednesday, you don't want to miss next Wednesday. I'm going to be improving my pastoral skills as I learn from other pastors. So Pastor Fiona is going to be doing next Wednesday. You don't want to miss next Wednesday. Amen? She has a prophetic anointing. And, you know, it's good to have a different anointing. Amen? So you don't want to miss next Wednesday, because it'll be good. So let me just review quickly how we've been redeemed from poverty. If you look up Deuteronomy 28, it'll list the curse of the law, and it includes sickness and poverty and death. And, you know, there are examples of people whom God delivered from poverty in the Bible. And you know what? He's no respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Amen? You can look up Abraham, whom God made very rich. Hallelujah. And Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the Israelites in Egypt. What did God do for the Israelites? They were slaves for 400 years, right? How much does a slave make? But you know, God makes up the difference. When the devil mistreats you, God can redeem you. And what he did for the Israelites is he said, I want you to borrow from your masters. Now just think now. God tells you to go to your boss, and he tells you to borrow his gold, his silver, and his garments. All right? And you go to your boss, and you ask him for this stuff, and they give it to you. And the Bible says that Israel plundered Egypt in one night. Okay? And, you know, Israel under Joshua, they took a city whose walls were as wide as they were high. But how many know that God knows how to get around every obstacle? Okay, here's what I want you to remember about prosperity. Number one, prosperity is God's will. Amen? God is a good shepherd. Psalm 23, just write these verses down. Psalm 35, 27. Psalm 37, 3 to 11. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 12. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. And Proverbs 8, 17 through 21. Number two, prosperity is a covenant blessing. How many know God honors his covenant? He made a covenant is a promise. God says, I'm going to bless Abraham so that you can be a blessing. And God did, didn't he? Yeah. And Abraham was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. And guess what? The same thing that happened to Abraham can happen to us. Why? Because Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. He bought us back. He paid a price. He gave his life as a ransom. He delivered us. Amen. He added value to us. Okay? Number two, it's a covenant blessing. Prosperity is a covenant blessing. Write these down. Deuteronomy 8, 18. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 9. And Psalm 11, verses 1 through 6. Number three, God gives us prosperity. It's wisdom, favor, and success. Say, God wants me to succeed. Okay, write down these verses. 2 Chronicles 1, 12. Genesis chapter 39. Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 6. And Romans 8, 31. And you know, prosperity, it involves your provision, your protection, and your well-being. How many know God wants you well? He wants you protected. Okay? Write down these verses. Deuteronomy 2, 7. Psalm 34, 10. Psalm 61, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. And then finally, prosperity is your inheritance. How many know God's got an inheritance for you? Write these verses down. Genesis 22, verses 16 to 18. Leviticus 20, verses 2 through 24. Psalm 37, 11. And Matthew 19, 29. And I want you to go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 8. Second Corinthians 8 and verse 9. And I want you to notice the exchange that takes place here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. How many know the grace? If you've been saved, you know the grace. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Why? That through his poverty, what? We might become rich. Amen? Now that's talking spirit, soul, and body. That's talking every area of life. So now I want to transition and get into, we've been redeemed from sickness. I've got good news for you tonight. You've been redeemed from sickness. All right? What, you know, have you ever thought of what is divine healing? It's a process relating to God where he aids in restoration, regeneration, and renewal. It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal the sick and afflicted. And the very word healing means medicinal, therapeutic, curing, restorative, soothing, health-giving, recovering, mending, repairing, to make well, and to restore to health. Hallelujah. Does that sound like anything the Lord's interested in? Yes. You know, if God's word can create, can God's word create? Yes. Let there be light, and what happened? If God's word can create, then God's word can heal. God's word can make alive. God's word can fix something that's been broken. Amen? And so, you know, based on the word of God and God's revealed will, and if you consider God's purpose and his power, it is wholly reasonable to believe that God is interested in your physical life. Whose image were you made in? You were made in God's image and in his likeness. Okay? And you know, there's different stages of healing, there's different levels of healing, but number one, you have got to be fully persuaded in your heart that it is God's will. Say, I'm fully persuaded. It is God's will to heal me. Hallelujah. It is God's will. God wants you healed just as much as he wants you saved. He really does. You got to be convinced. Well, I don't feel healed. You may not feel healed. But is it just because you feel that way, does that change God's will?
No.
No. God's will, his word is, how long is it established?
Forever.
It is forever established in heaven. So God's word is his will. He's not going to change his mind. And there's no experience on this earth that can change God's will. There's no experience that would make void God's will. The problem is, some people magnify their experience above the word. They give their experience the place that the word should have. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's get a little insight of how healing works. Proverbs chapter 4. In just a moment, I'm going to act like a lawyer. And I am going to present evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. And I'm going to give you reasons, say reasons, that it is God's will to heal. Now, if I just gave you two or three witnesses, that would establish the word, but I brought with me more than two or three.
Hallelujah.
I am going to bombard you with reasons why it's God's will to heal. You're going to leave here tonight saying, "Woo, it is God's will to heal me."
Hallelujah.
And any sick person that you encounter, you're going to be a threat to their sickness. I am going to load you for bear.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 4. My son, he also means his daughter, attend to what? My word? Did it just say word?
Words.
What does it mean to attend? Listen. Pay attention, okay? You have to understand something. When Jesus walked the earth, he was the Word made flesh. There was no other person as full of the Word as Jesus was. There's no other person that will ever be as full as the Word as Jesus is. And so you got to understand that when Jesus in flesh form, when he walked this earth, he was the walking word. And whatever the word said happened because he was never polluted by sin. Okay? So attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. When you're sick, where's the first place you should go? To the word. You should, this is your first response. Okay? Verse 21. Let them not depart from your eyes. What do you do with your eyes? You see, you look. Okay? Keep them in the midst of your heart. So you're supposed to attend to the word. You're supposed to move close. You're supposed to look to the word. And you're supposed to keep it in your heart, right? When you do that, what's going to happen? For they are life. What's the they he's talking about? His words. Say, his words are life. So anything that the word goes to, anything that God's word says, it's going to produce life. Okay? God's ultimate goal is to produce life. They are life unto those that what? Uh-oh. What if you don't know where to look? Are you going to receive life if you don't know where to look? You got to be able to find God's words. Where can you find God's words? In the Bible, where else? Where are you right now? What am I saying? I'm speaking God's words. Right? So you can find God's words in the Bible. You can find God's words wherever God's words is being proclaimed. In whatever form. And what else is God's word? It's life and what? Health to what? Say, God's word is health to all my flesh. Every organ, all your skin, you don't have to say that, but God's word is life and health to your eyes, to your hands, to your bones, to your blood vessels, to your organs. That's God's words are life and health to all your flesh, inside and out, from head to toe, all around. Now, this word health, it is the word marpe. It means medicine. It means deliverance. It means sound and wholesome. It means to mend. Now, God's word is medicine. To what part of you? All your flesh. God's word is medicine. It mends, it cures, it makes whole. God's word is life and medicine to all your flesh. Is that not awesome? Yes. Now, look at verse 23. Keep your heart with what? You've got to exercise some effort in protecting God's word that comes into your heart. Why? Because when the word is sown, immediately the thief comes to try to steal that word before that word can take effect on your flesh. See, if God's word, if the devil can steal the word out of your heart, then it won't affect your flesh. The only way the word's going to affect your flesh is if it's in your heart. Okay? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Because out of your heart flow the issues of life. Put away from you for a froward mouth. That's a deceitful mouth. What's a deceitful mouth? When you're speaking against what God said about your situation, you're speaking deceitfully. Why? Because what is the truth? God's word is the truth. It's going to be hard to let medicine and life come to your flesh if you have a froward mouth. Your health is connected to your mouth. Life and death are where? In the power of the tongue. Perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight forward. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right. How you live will affect your health. What you say can affect your health. How you treat others can affect your health. Okay? I want you to see that it's not just one thing that affects our life. It's everything that we do. It's the conversations that you have when you're just by yourself and with your friends and you're just hanging out. It's how we live when we're not in this scenario right here. Amen? Go to Proverbs 18:15. My goodness. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain him, his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I want you to know that life comes from your spirit. You know, I was thinking about this today. We are a third saved. What do you mean by that? Our spirits have been born again, but our minds and our bodies have not. That means we're a third saved. And the Bible says we've just been given a down payment of our inheritance. So when Jesus comes again, we're going to get the full inheritance, and this incorruption is going to trade it in for incorruption. And in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, and we're going to be just like him when he comes. So, you know, if you think it's good now, wait till you get your glorified body. You ain't seen nothing yet. So if you have a wounded spirit, a wounded spirit is not going to sustain life, okay? The weaker your spirit is, the less life will flow out of it. How do you become weak? When you don't eat right, you don't exercise, and you're just laying around, your body is going to become weak. Now, spiritually, if we're not attending to God's word like we should, if we're not taking in God's word like we should, we're going to be weak in our spirit, and it's going to hinder the amount of life that comes from our spirit. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Okay? See, but God's words are spirit and life. Okay? And man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Can you live by God's word? Yes, by every word, right? That means you got to have more than one. That's why he said, attend to my words. Okay? Now, faith deals with the present and the future. Now, here's what you do in the meantime. God says you're healed. I declare that I'm healed, but my body hasn't caught up yet. What do I do in between time? You be patient. Patience keeps you expecting till it manifests. Patience is a fruit, isn't it? A fruit can be cultivated. You can plant fruit trees. You can grow fruit trees. You can trim fruit trees, right? Faith is different from facts. Okay? Faith is what God said and not what you see or what you feel. It is natural versus spiritual. When you're in faith, you are convinced that what you're saying is true, and you're convinced that what you're saying is working in you right now. So when someone's in faith, they're convinced that what they're saying is true, and what you're saying is working in you right now. In other words, when you're in faith, faith doesn't begin tomorrow. Faith is now. Okay? Faith is based on knowing the will of God. You must focus on God and not the problem. Which is easier for God to heal? Cancer on your mind or cancer of the brain? God has no problem healing cancer on the brain, but if cancer's on your mind, you're going to hinder God from working in that situation because you're always thinking about it. What did Philippians 4 tell us to think on? Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, of a good report. He said, think on these things. If you don't know what to think about, go to Philippians 4:8. Okay? Now, we are in a courtroom. Our Father is the judge. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. He's the one that brings the accusations. And his evidence are lies and deceit. His witnesses are guilt, shame, and condemnation. But God's witnesses are the very words that he said. So I want to present you some witnesses that I have that will prove that it is God's will to heal. Number one, it is the word that heals. I told you if God's word can create, it can heal, right? The Roman centurion in Matthew 8, he told Jesus, he said, only speak the word and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said that was the highest kind of faith. Jesus marveled at his great faith. So number one, the word heals. The word brings life, and the word is medicine. The word heals. Say, God's word heals. Okay? Number two, I present to you the origin. I give it to you as Exhibit B. The origin of sickness. What is the, where did sickness come from? How did it get in this earth? Anybody want to give an answer? Sickness came from sin. Romans 5:12, through one man, death entered the world. And because of that, it fell upon all who were born after him. Okay? But also through one man came life. Sin caused the perfection of the system to be altered. It changed man and it changed the earth. There was a curse that came on the earth. We're delivered from the curse of the fall. We're not delivered from the curse that's on the earth. There's still thorns, isn't there? There's still thistles. Women, you still have some issues in childbearing, right? Now, did Jesus deal with the sin problem? Yes, he nailed it to the cross. So if he dealt with the root of the problem, then he dealt with the results that the root caused, which is sickness and death. Alexander Dowie said this, sickness is the result of its father Satan and its mother sin coming together. Okay? And you know what? Death is an enemy of God, isn't it? And when Jesus comes again, he's going to deal with the last enemy called death. It's going to be under his feet, amen? And until that time, death has no sting for the believer. But you're going to learn about that the last Wednesday, not tonight. Praise God. Romans 8, didn't God deliver us from the law of sin and death? And he gave us a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus in his place. Glory be to God. Okay? Number three, sickness is the work of the devil. Does that mean that if I'm sick, the devil made me sick? It could mean. It's not in every case, but Satan does use sickness. How do we know? Job 2:7. Who put the painful boils on Job? It was Satan who put the painful boils on Job. But people will say, well, God allowed it. Yeah, God also allowed man to choose to sin too. So don't focus on what God allowed. Focus on who did it. Satan did it. Go to Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How many times did Jesus cast out a devil and make a person healed? A lot. You know? One of my favorite scriptures was, he cast out a spirit and it was dumb. I love that. That's what the word says. In other words, that spirit that was possessing that person made that person dumb. They couldn't talk. But when the spirit was cast out, they could talk. And how many know Luke 13? There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Jesus said Satan had bound her for 18 years. And what happened? How did she get healed? Jesus loosed her from the spirit of infirmity. So sickness is a work of the devil, and I've got good news for you. 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, if Satan is using sickness as a work, and Jesus comes to destroy that work, he makes sickness null and void in us, doesn't he? When you destroy something, you can't use it again. Right? Say, sickness is of the devil. That means you don't have to welcome sickness. When it comes, you don't have to accept it. You don't have to put out the welcome mat. You can send it back to its sender. Return to sender. Right? Address unknown. Because the old man doesn't live here anymore. Someone new lives here. There's someone else living in this house. His name is Jesus. The next evidence I want to present is we have a covenant of healing. Go to Exodus chapter 15. I'm not having you turn to many scriptures because we just don't have the time. All right? Exodus 15. And look at verse 26. This story is about when the Israelites came to Marah. They couldn't drink the water because the water is bitter. You know, sickness can be bitter, can it? Sickness steals your time. It steals your money. It steals your energy. I want you to see sickness as a thief. Okay? Verse 26, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Did he say, I'm the Lord who will heal you? I am the Lord who heals you. So who's your healer? The Lord, Jesus. He's your healer. You got to see him as the healer. Too many times you're focused on the healing and not the healer. Let me tell you something. When you focus on the healer, you get the healing. Don't focus on the end result. Focus on the person who gives it to you. Okay? We have a covenant with healing. Love fulfills the law. If you look at Psalm 103, it lists all the benefits. And in that benefit, he heals all our diseases. That's a benefit. Say, healing is a benefit.
Healing is a benefit.
It's part of God's covenant. You know, why would a God who promises to save you from hell not save you from sickness? Why wouldn't he include that in the package? He did. Amen? Thank God that he did. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus, in Hebrews 8, it says we have a better covenant with better promises. Hallelujah. If there was healing in the Old Testament and we have a better covenant with better promises, wouldn't there be healing in the New Testament? Does anybody have any change? I need a dollar and two quarters. I need a dollar and two quarters. Okay, here's a dollar, and I need two quarters. Thank you very much. All right. Now, you see this 50 cents? This is like the old covenant. This dollar is like the new covenant. Is this 50 cents included in the dollar? But so much more, isn't there? That's the covenant that we have with God. Thank you very much. We have a better covenant. Hallelujah. We have a $6 million covenant, better promises, better results, quicker, faster. The next evidence I want to present to you of why it is God's will to heal is God's redemptive names. In particular, his compound names. How many know that there's a lot to say in a name? In Exodus 3:14, Moses asked the question, who shall I tell them is sending me? And God's response was, I am that I am. And let me tell you something. If God said, I am, we don't have a right to say he was. If God says, I am, he is. Not he was. God was I am with Moses. He is still I am today. What is I am? I am whatever you need. I am whatever you want. I am whatever you desire. I am what you need. I am the solution. We have a Jehovah Shammah. That means the Lord is there. Where is the Lord? He's everywhere. But when you believe in him, that manifestation comes to where you are. Write these scriptures down. Ezekiel 48:35. Hebrews 13:5. And Psalm 91:14. Say, God is with me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. Where were you, God, when I was going through this thing? I was right there. I was ready to carry you if necessary. I'm there. We have a Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. That really means nothing missing, nothing broken. To have peace means there's nothing missing, there's nothing broken. Write down these scriptures, Judges 6:24. John 14 and Isaiah 9. He's the Prince of Peace. We have a Jehovah Raha. The Lord is our shepherd. He is the Lord who leads us. Psalm 23 and John 10. We have a Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who sees. He is your providing provider. He sees ahead. He knows what you're going to need, and he had it ready for you when you got there. Hallelujah. Genesis 22:14 and Philippians 4:19. I'm giving you Old Testament and New Testament because Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. If God was this in the Old Testament, he's definitely this in the New Testament. We have a Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. He is our victory flag. Hallelujah. Woo! He's our victory. Hallelujah. Exodus 17:15, 1 Corinthians 15:57, and 2 Corinthians 2:14. That's one of my favorites. Thanks, God. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. Then we have a Jehovah He's the Lord our righteousness. What does that mean? If you're right, you're not wrong. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 33:16, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Then we have a Jehovah Mekadesh. Or Makadesh. He is the Lord who sanctifies, talking of his holiness. Isaiah 40:25, Isaiah 43:3, and Isaiah 48:17. We have a Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord who heals you. Say, he is my Lord, and he heals me. And then we have a Jehovah Sabaoth. He's the Lord of hosts. Whenever you're in a battle, the Lord of hosts is going to fight for you. 1 Samuel 1:3. Now, sickness is part of the curse of the law, but you've been redeemed from what? Galatians 3:13. If sickness is a part of the curse of the law, and you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, then you've been redeemed from sickness. You've been bought back. You've been delivered. You've been set free. Sickness can't hold you into bondage. Sickness can't confine you. Sickness can't restrict you. Why? Because you've been redeemed from it. Hallelujah. That means you might have to fight it. You ever talk to people and they got a problem? You know, let's say I broke my arm. What did they say? You want to sign my broken arm? What do they do? They're taking ownership. They're taking ownership of what's broken. Why don't they ever say, you want to sign my healing arm? How come whenever you come to a red light, you call it a stoplight? How come you don't call it a green light? It's green just as much as it is red. But we're so geared for the negative. Oh, you just go down to that red light. Well, how about the green light? But you see, we get programmed in our minds to respond in certain ways. You got to change your programming. That file's been corrupted. You got to upgrade to the new version. It's JES 3.0 for the Trinity. Sickness is part of the curse of the law. There are five major types of redemption in the Old Testament that all speak of healing. I'm going to give them to you. Number one's the Passover lamb. Exodus 12. 1 Corinthians 5 says Jesus is our Passover. What did they do? They passed over death. They went from death to life. Woo! You've had a passport to exit death and come into life. Jesus is your passport. You don't have to renew it. Once you get it in your heart, it's yours. You don't have to take a picture. You just have to know Jesus. We got to take his blood and apply it to our life. Number two, the cleansing of the leper from Leviticus 14. Jesus came in an earthen vessel, a manger. When they cleansed the leper, they would take two birds. One would die, the other would live. But the one who lived was washed in the blood of the one who died and was washed in water. And Jesus bled water and blood on the cross. We were washed from our sins. Jesus died so that we could live. He not only took our sin and nailed it to the cross, he took our sickness and nailed it to the cross. So, and then you have the year of Jubilee. In Leviticus 25, you got to get this. The year of Jubilee was when every man and woman can return to his possession every 50 years. Luke 4:18, Jesus came to, I proclaim the year of Jubilee. Now you got to get this. The year of Jubilee for the believer is an everyday occurrence. In other words, when Jesus came, we believe in Jesus, we get to go back to what Adam lost. We get to go back to God's original design. And what we heard on Sunday, Jesus has authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. He has more authority than Adam had. So our Jubilee means we get to go back in right relationship with God. We can be one with God. We can walk with God, and we can walk in the authority that he's given us. And we can once again take dominion that Adam should have took in the beginning. Because if a snake offers you an apple, you can crush its head. Wasn't an apple, but, you know, I'm just saying. It wasn't the fruit in the tree. It was the pear on the ground that was a problem. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and by his stripes we are what? So, Jesus, if he took our wounds and our bruises, why wouldn't he take our sicknesses? Do you realize? I read a fact today. How many stripes did Jesus take on his back? 39. The fact was, if someone were to take 40, that would cause him to die, because your body couldn't take that much. But Jesus went to the extreme, and with each of those stripes, each of those 39 stripes that he took on his back, he was taking back sickness and disease. Every time he was struck with that whip, every time that blood was shedding, and it was saying, you are healed, you are healed, you are healed. He took 39 stripes so that we could be healed. He wouldn't go through that much suffering if he didn't want our physical bodies to be healed and whole. Now, sickness doesn't come without a cause. If you're a fool, you could end up sick because you know what a fool is? Someone who doesn't receive information. So don't be a fool. God wants his will done where? Is there any sick people in heaven? Now, you have to understand, the earth is under a curse. There's sin in this world, and our physical bodies are susceptible to sickness, just like we're susceptible to sin, okay? But just as Jesus made a way out of sin, he also made a way out of our sickness. Healing is the answer to sickness. Everyone that came to Jesus in the New Testament was healed. Everyone who came to Jesus was healed. There wasn't one person. I challenge you to go through the four Gospels and find me someone who came to Jesus with a sickness and left sick. If you can find that, I will give you a prize because I know you won't find it. We have healing because we have a good shepherd. Do you think a good shepherd is going to just let sickness run rampant in his sheep? He said, I lay my life down for the sheep. He gives the ultimate sacrifice. He laid his life down, so why? We could pick up his life. He died so that we could live. Healing is God's will because we have a loving Father. God wants the best for you. He said, I know what you need, but I want you to ask, because asking represents faith. If you ask God for a fish, is he going to give you a serpent? If you ask God for bread, is he going to give you a rock? No, God is not like that. God is a loving Father.
God is a loving Father.
Now, I know that you may not have had a good example of an earthly father, but let me tell you something. God is the perfect Father. Yes. He is loving, he's gentle, he's kind, he's forbearing, he's merciful, his mercies are new every morning. Healing is a display of God's mercy. We know that we're healed because everywhere Jesus went, he healed. Jesus said, I've come to do the Father's will. If healing is something that Jesus did everywhere that he went. So these are the evidences that I present to you tonight of why it's God's will to heal. Your part is to accept it and believe it. I'm not here to convince you of what God said. I'm here to tell you what God said, and it's up to you to make a choice. You either believe it or not. Believe it or not. If you're here tonight and you're dealing with a sickness, it could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be mental. You know what? God can even heal your finances. How does he do that? He turns things around. If you need healing in any area of your life, there is a healer in the house tonight.
Hallelujah.
And his power is present to heal them. And you can tap into that power by faith. By believing what he said, accepting it in your heart, And you've got to release your faith. How do you do that? You speak what God said. Or you do, if God gives you an instruction, you do it. That's what it means to release your faith. Faith is not bound and gagged. There's no such thing as a gag order on faith. Faith speaks. Faith acts. So if you need a healing in any area tonight, I want you to come up. You know, there's many ways. You can lay hands on people. Jesus spoke to things. Pick up your mat and walk. How'd you like to be that man who sat there for years and couldn't walk, and all of a sudden the word comes by and says, pick up your mat and walk, and he gets up and walks? Why? Because the word said it. He simply acted on the word. So from this moment forth, you are the healed. You are not the sick and the oppressed. That is not you. God took that nature away, and he gave you a brand new nature. Oh, hallelujah. And when he does a work, it's complete. Father, in the name of Jesus, life and health come to her now. Lord, strengthen her now and turn this around in the name of Jesus. Be healed and be whole. Walk in the life. No longer shall you be restricted in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for the life that's in your name, the life that's in your word. Lord, the life that is coursing through her veins right now in the name of Jesus, restoring and renewing and creating health. Hallelujah. He wants you to walk in divine health. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, receive your healing. It is yours. It's been given to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the power in the name of Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus, and I release your life and your power and your strength. Father, right now, you have the ability to fix anything that's broken, anything that's not working. You cause it to make it work in Jesus' name. I command every function, every system of this body to work as it was created, and it be strengthened and renewed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to take your glasses off. Okay? Hold them. I want Fiona to lay your hands on her eyes. Oh, he said, I've come to make the blind, I've come to open blind eyes. I command these eyes to be open. Eyes you were created to see. Lord, I thank you, Father, for recreating these eyes to see in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you open blind eyes. Hallelujah. You make darkness light. Oh, yes. You turn darkness into light, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that she can see in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's not degenerative, it's regenerative. Hallelujah. It's regenerative, if I'm saying that right. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It's regeneration, not degeneration. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks and praise. We take authority over every sickness, disease, and infirmity. And Lord, I thank you that whom the Son sets free is free. And I declare her to be free right now, free from any debilitating disease in the name of Jesus. Lord, your word is medicine to all her flesh, and it's working powerfully in Jesus' name to restore health to her in Jesus' name. Amen. I call her strong and whole and healed in Jesus' name. Lord, let that life go through her. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Father, that bondages are broken in the name of Jesus. Prison doors are open. Chains are falling off. Lord, that your anointing destroys the yoke. It destroys the yoke of sickness. It breaks its bond. It can no longer hinder and restrict. I call her free, liberated in the name of Jesus, healed and whole in the name of Jesus. As Jesus was moved with compassion, he healed the sick in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace to be upon her right now. Lord, just as her knee has no pain, there's no place in her body for pain. Pain, you go right now in the name of Jesus. And in its place, let there be life and strength and wholeness. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for a fresh anointing of healing to explode in her in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the dunamis power of your healing and your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabaka Sandala Baruko Sandala Mama. Father, just as the Good Samaritan rescued the one who was beaten and bruised along the way, Father, he poured in the oil and the wine. Right now, we pour in the oil and the wine in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that she's being restored to health, to 100% operating capacity in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pour in the oil and the wine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that there's no age limit on your healing. Lord, let that covenant of healing be established in his life, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And he shall succeed. He shall go forward. He shall do great exploits in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Father, he needs a creative miracle in his body. Lord, I command that hallelujah. Father, I command the sugars in his body to be level in the name of Jesus. I command the organs that produce the sugar to work. I speak life to you. I call you back from the dead in the name of Jesus. I say, come forth, you organs, and start to produce the right levels in Jesus' name. I say, a Lazarus is coming forth in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You know what? Laughter's like medicine. So let her overdose in Jesus' name. Let that joy is your strength. Father, that joy will eradicate every weakness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Step forward, step forward. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. Lord, your name is above every name that is named. Every name of sickness, every cancer, I curse you like the fig tree. Cancer, you are cursed in the name of Jesus. You've got to leave this body. You've got to loose your grip. You've got to loose your hold because he's been made free by the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood that was shed on Calvary, the blood of Jesus that tells the destroyer, you can't come here. You can't come here. You can't come here because he's covered in the blood. And I thank you, Lord, strength. Lord, where that cancer was, make it strong and repair it and heal it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for strength, strength, strong in the Lord and in the power of your might in the name of Jesus. Father, just cleanse him. Give him an overhaul. Give him an overhaul, Father, in Jesus' name, from head to toe, in the name of Jesus. Father, let your fresh oil come on him right now. Breathe on him, Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we give you thanks and praise. Healing is the children's bread. And Father, I thank you for this child. I thank you, Lord, that you give him healing and life, a freshness, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, that he's growing in your grace and you're doing great and mighty things in him. And Lord, we bless him. Just as Jesus said, let the children come unto me, Father. We bless him. And he is blessed. Hallelujah, Father. He can rest. He has no stress. And he's experiencing the Lord's best. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we praise you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Father, you are the healer. You are our deliverer. You are our redeemer. You are our king. We bow to you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the praise for performing your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Your will is established in our lives. You are working mightily in us, and you shall complete the work. Oh, rabakasondo raboraki anda labakosanda la mama mama. Hia labakosondo la morabakasanda la mama. The ultimate price for you has been paid. Sickness, poverty, and death are being sent to the grave. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, just like God let Haman hang on his own gallows, the sickness that tries to come upon you will be used against your enemies. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We give you all glory and all honor. You're an awesome God, Father. We trust you. We lean not to our own understanding, but we acknowledge you in all of our ways, that you may direct our paths in Jesus' name. And if you haven't yet, if you want to give something to the Lord, that you can put your offering there in the back, and we just bless every gift and every giver in Jesus' name. So you're in for a prophetic treat next week. It'll be fresh manna. Hallelujah. Have a great night. Thanks for coming out tonight.